Hi, the Bible reading for today is from Matthew 5, 13 to 20. So that's from starts on page 1454 in your pew Bible. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Keep your Bibles open. I've just got to get my act together. I just bought some chips in case I get bored during the sermon. Where's your hand up for, Mary? Do you want to ask a question already? We haven't even started. All right. Tell me if you can hear me. All right. Here you go. Ooh. All right. You can't hear me? All right. Here you go. So, all right. We're starting a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, 7, and 8. And Alan started it last week, and he told us that we are blessed. So if you like, because you believe in Jesus Christ, God goes, I'll choose Alana because she's given me eye contact. Because Alana puts her faith and calls Jesus Lord and believes that he died for her sins on the cross, God's got his thumbs up to Alana and he goes, Alana, you are blessed. That's kind of, Alan said it much better, but I think that's it. God says to Alana, you are blessed. But the dilemma of being blessed by God is when God gives us the thumbs up, guess what? 9 out of 10 times, society gives us the thumbs down because they don't like the way God does stuff. So Alana is blessed. And she's blessed because she's got a guaranteed future. Her future is guaranteed. No one can take it away from her. Now, what Jesus is going to do in Matthew 5, he's going to give two more identities to the Christians. And before I get into them, you've got to know something. Identity always precedes action. What I'm trying to say, if you don't know who you are, you won't know how to behave. And so what Jesus does is the first thing on his Sermon on the Mount, he tells them who they are, and then as we go through the weeks, he's going to talk about each of the commandments kind of in the Old Testament, and he's going to tell them how to behave. So the first thing he told me says, you're blessed. That's what you need to know, is that you are blessed. Got it? Let's get into our other two identities. It's almost like a Trinitarian, oh, I won't go there, it's just too complex. But before we do, would anyone like a chip? I love chips. You want a chip?
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you like chips?
No.
Do you like chips? Oh, it's gluten-free? You know there's only one thing better than chips? And that's salted cashews. I love going, no one wants chips! Go on, John. Yeah. Well, you guys aren't getting any chips. Oh, you want some chips. The great thing about chips is... No, it's okay. The great thing about chips is you just want more. Let's go back to the sermon. All right. I love to read to you Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16, to look at our other two identities. You ready? Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And you are the light of the world. And a city on a hill, it cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So what's the first title we get given? That we are the salt of the earth. And really, to understand your identity as a Christian, you need to understand salt. Now, salt in society is used for lots of different stuff. I could go through preservation, I could go through all this sort of stuff. Let's keep it simple. What's the main reason we have salt? Because of flavour. It's not rocket science. It's even in the Bible. In Job 6:6, just salt makes things yummy. So it says, can flavourless food be eaten without salt? And the answer is no. Well, the answer he wants is no. Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? And the answer is no. In ancient culture, they used salt to make things yummy. That's why we like salty chips. But also what I found was interesting, I put salt in my Bible computer, and Leviticus 2:13 is just one example. They used salt in their worship. Salt made the offering acceptable to God. Check this. And this is not a unique reading. This is just one example, but it was new to me. And every offering of your grain offering shall be seasoned with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of the God to be lacking on your grain offering. With all your offerings, you will offer salt. So as far as Jesus' listeners are concerned, when they heard the word salt, particularly Jewish people, they would have gone, oh yeah, salt makes things yummy. Oh yeah, and salt makes ordinary things holy. And I think that's what he's trying to say to them. Colossians 4 kind of puts it together. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So if you like, when Jesus says, you, Alana and every other Christian here, you are the salt of the earth, that means, you know what, you season every moment of life, like salt does to a good meal. And you get those moments of life and you make them holy for God. And it combines them beautifully. Now, when you go to the fish and chip store, or the whatever, you got to get fish and chips, eh? And the choice is chicken salt or ordinary salt. And the bad thing is, Bonnie and I always order the small packets. And you're near the end. Why do we order the small packet? Because you know you're going to finish the big one. And there's nothing bad. You get to a stage when you're eating the chips where you go, I've had enough. But you go, I don't say one more, I go, just one more. And six chips later, I'm still gobbling it down. Is it because I love the chips? No, it's because the salt makes you want to come back for more. I had a Sri Lankan friend, we were having a conversation. She said, when she was a little girl, she used to love salt on her pineapples. And I said to her, in my sensitive way, you're mental, that certainly doesn't work. Anyway, I went home, and the first time Bronnie got some pineapple, because like Bronnie, not the tinned rubbish, the real stuff, you know, I got two pieces of pineapple, A and B, and I got salt, and I salted the second one. I went, okay, here we go. I took piece number one, thought, oh yeah, I don't want pineapple, it's all right. I took piece number two, it was unbelievable. So go home and salt pineapple. Now, this is not a cooking thing, but it's illustrating the point that salt just makes a difference. It makes you want to come back for more. And this is the picture that Jesus wants of us. He wants you to be the type of person that makes people want to come back again and try a little bit more. That's what I think he means by being salt. All right, the other illustration is light. It's not rocket science. Interesting thing, in Matthew 4:16, just the chapter before, Jesus mentions light and he talks about himself. Listen to this. The people who sat in darkness, they've seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. It's a great little picture, right? For Jesus paints a picture of the world being a black, black place. And the blackness is the shadow of death. And people are sitting in it. And they're waiting for something to happen. And a light's coming. And the light feels like the dawn. I don't know if you've stayed up all night. But I remember once we did an all-night with a group of guys. And it was pitch black. But as the sun came up, it was just glorious as it pushed the darkness away. And Jesus is going, that's me. I'm the light that's dawning, and everyone sitting in the dark, sitting in death, sees a light coming. And when you think about it, the world is sick. Like, and death isn't just physical. Death can be relational death. There's environmental death. There's emotive death. There's spiritual death, and we're immersed in it. And when people are immersed in something that's yucky, there's one or two things they do. They sit there and just submit, or they run away or try to run away. But where do you run from death? Until the light comes. I was scuba diving once with my mate Mal, night diving. The funny thing about night diving is like bushwalking in the dark. Except bushwalking, there's ground underneath you. So I was happily swimming away, and my torch went... And I went, oh yeah, I did the usual thing. Yeah, I know. And I did the tip. What do you do in a horror movie when the torch doesn't work? Yeah, you bang it. And it was just like, I went, oh yeah, pitch black. And I went, that's okay. I'm going to go to Malcolm. I look around. Black in front of me, black below me, black above me, black left, right, behind me. I'm going, where's Mal? And, whoa, that's illustrating the point. Thank you for that. And I was genuinely at one, I was just sitting there, and in that moment, I was almost panicking. And there's two things you do when you panic. You either want to sit still and hope the bad situation goes away, or you take action. My action is I want to scream to the surface. And I thought, no, oh, wait a minute. And guess what happened? Out of the darkness, you like a UFO coming over a crest was Malcolm, because he had all these full-on lights. What's the first thing I did? The first thing I did is I swam towards him, because when you're in the dark, the first thing you want to do is actually go to the light, because when you go to the light, you know where you are and you know what to look for. You know what the second thing I did is? I bought a new torch. Because they didn't want to let me down. And here's my new torch, which is now old. And once you've been stuck in the dark, you want a man torch. This is a man torch. And I bought this torch because I want to see my way. I do not want to be in the dark again. Do you get the picture that Jesus is trying to make? You are the salt. And in this dark, dark world, when people are just lost, you can be that light. Now, I bought this torch... Oh, did I tell you, actually months later, we had a blackout, because that's what you do in Lugano, and I thought, I know what can help, my man torch. And Bronwyn's, while she was looking for candles, I got my man torch, and I put it on the dining room table, and I sat it up, and we did what we did. And you can see, it's quite a light torch. If you turn the torch off, it's kind of dark. And we did what we did. I didn't buy the torch to do this. Dude, you buy a torch and you use it to maximum efficiency. You don't buy a torch to hide it. Jesus, God bought you with his son's blood. He didn't buy you so you do this. He bought you so you do this and you shine. Does that make sense? Cool. Do you want to just put the lights on? Because I'm feeling quite blind. And the background lights too. Thanks. I want to show you something. The term I hate right now is shine. You know, people are always shining. You know, go, you're shining for your school. Go shine. I'm over the term. And the funny thing is, whether it's athletics or the performance field, people are shining. But who are they shining for? Themselves. Even Olympic athletes, they're not doing it for Australia. Don't kid yourself that an athlete is doing it for the country. The athlete is doing it for their PB or for their own personal records. But you can see in verse 16 that we shine not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to who? God the Father. God the Father sent his Son and bought us so we could shine and glorify him. Now the hard thing is, you pick up in verse 13, it's hard being a Christian. Though God gives you the thumbs up, everyone gives you the thumbs down. And though we're called to be salty, the thing we want to do is we want to fit in, and we don't want to be too salty. We'd rather be insipid, because the last thing we want to do is stand out. And we don't want to give off too much light, because we draw too much light, we'll draw too much attention to ourselves. And who knows how people are going to treat us, so we'll just play it down a bit. And you can see in verse 13, the irony is for those people who desalt themselves, they're thrown out and they're trampled by men. And that's the funny thing is, what's the big fear about being a Christian? That you're going to be trampled by men. Well, if you're going to be trampled by men, either way, you may as well be saved and you may as well send someone to heaven with you. So shine your light. Alright, so that's essentially the sermon. God wants you to add flavour to life, and he wants you to shine in life. That's it. But what does that look like? The metaphor is crystal clear, isn't it? But what does it actually look like? It's actually verse 19 I want to look at, but I'm going to read 17 to 20 to keep the context. Okay? You ready? 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And I'll tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and practices and practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So there it is in crystal clear. So every time you obey the commandments of Jesus, you are seasoning the moment. When you do the commandments of Jesus, you are adding flavour. And we're going to unpack that over the next couple of weeks. He talks about divorce. He talks about lying. He talks about prayer. He talks about everything. We're going to unpack how we can season the moment. And every time you keep the promises of Jesus, you add light. Sometimes my life is very, very tedious and boring, and sometimes it's actually unpleasant. But the interesting thing is, I hold on to the promises of Jesus for the future, because if I stay focused on those promises of the future, I can season the tedious moments with those promises. Does that make sense? And sometimes life seems dark, but when I see that far-reaching light promise, that throws a bit of light on the dark moment, enables me to move forward and not stay still in fear or run to whatever will alleviate the darkness in me. I can move forward because I can see the promise in the distance. Now, and every time, I don't know if you thought about it, but every time you do a commandment of God, you're pushing darkness back, because that's the nature of light. Light pushes darkness back. And we need Christians in various fields. I tell you, we need Christians in the education area, because there's darkness in the education system. There is darkness in the hospital system. There is darkness in the political system. In all our systems, there's darkness. And for every Christian we have there, it's adding light and seasoning the moment. And that's you, whether you're in the healthcare system or the local government system or in the education system, either as teachers or learners. The ESV's got an interesting alternate translation. The word I like there is relaxes. Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, they will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them is called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's be honest. Some of Jesus' commands are just damn hard. And the first thing you want to do is, you don't want to have a tight grip, you want to have a loose grip. You want to be a bit relaxed about it, because come on, Jesus, we don't do that anymore. Times are different. We're fluid. You know, we're easygoing. And you want to relax. But the problem is, when light relaxes, what does darkness do? Encroaches. And when we relax all the good stuff Jesus does, life becomes bland, if not confused. So don't relax stuff, but practice it. And I love the NIV. The NIV's got the word instead of do, it's got the word practice. And I like that, because you come back again and again to the same life situations. And when you stuff up a life situation, guess what? You'll come back again some other time and you can do it again. There's the take-home value. Let's put it all together and we're done. So, one, be clear about your identity. When you know who you are, you'll know how to behave in any situation. If you don't know who you are, your behaviour, you'll try and minimise pain and maximise pleasure. But we're not into that. Know who you are. Who are you? So let's pick on Abigail, because give me eye contact. Abigail is blessed. God says to Abigail, because you trust my son, I've got thumbs up for you, girl. Now, Jesus died for Abigail and shed his blood. Why? Because he wanted to buy her. Jesus owns her 100%. He's got a job for her. She's got to be salty and add flavor to that moment, all the moments she's given in life, just to add flavor, and she's to shine in the darkness where God puts her. Does that make sense? Because it's true for you. So, I want to encourage you to obey the commands of Jesus. I had a Roman Catholic friend. He said to me, I'm not having to go Roman Catholics, I'm just telling you how my friend thought. He said to me, I'm going to follow the commandments of Jesus and do the right things, because hopefully he'll bless me. But we go, no, because I am blessed, I follow the commandments of Jesus as an expression of that blessing upon others. So when Abigail follows the commandments of Jesus in the confidence that she has a guaranteed future, when she obeys it, that blessing is flowing out through Abigail and spreading out to everyone around her. Because blessings flow out, don't they? And so you bless the moment, again, by seasoning and enlightening it. So that means that we've got to, if it's the commandments of Jesus that administer blessing to others, it means we need to know the commandments, do the commandments, and teach the commandments. There's a no-brainer. So, here you go. I think that everyone who's a Christian should be a regular Bible reader. Regular could mean daily, it could mean every second day, it could be whatever. But we should be regular readers of the Bible to know the commands of our Lord. Because if you don't know the commands, how can you bless the world? And how can you please your Lord? That's just a no-brainer. So we need to read our Bible. And after we read our Bible, I'm not meaning to be treat you like children, okay? It's not the case. It's not enough to read the Bible. Once you read the Bible, you've got to submit your lifestyle to the Bible. Not submit the Bible to your lifestyle. Does that make sense? Because when you submit your lifestyle to the Bible, then you make the blessings visible. And we should teach one another. Now, there are a few married people in this room. So Bronwyn and I are married. If Bronwyn and I are not teaching each other the Bible or encouraging one another as Christians, there's something wrong in our marriage. There's something wrong in your marriage if you're not doing it. There's something wrong in your marriage if you're not doing it. There's something wrong in your marriage, and there's something wrong in your if you're not. We must encourage and teach one another. And for all those unmarried people going, but I'm not married, what about me? Well, you've got friends. And you play roles in people's lives. There is something wrong with you if you're not encouraging other Christians and teaching other Christians. Not in a condescending way like, did you know Abigail that the son of Joash was? No, it's not that sort of condescending teaching. It's, I get them confused. They're sisters. I'll talk to both of them. Do you know what I mean? We're always teaching and encouraging one another because I love the passage where he says, you are the light of the world. And what does he say after that? What does he say after that? You are light of the world. Go. Yeah, that's right, that's right. And so, if there's, again, I'll use Abigail. Abigail's shining her Christian light. I got Abigail this time. Abigail's shining a Christian light. That's one little light. But if Abigail invites other people into her faith to express her faith with her, then there's four people. And I love the picture of a city on a hill. It's just a whole bunch of people gathered together shining a light. It's really, really cool, isn't it? And that's what we should be doing. There you have it. We're getting to the commands. Are you a Christian? You're blessed. God's going, thumbs up, damn it, I love you. And because he loves you, get salty and get enlightening and get out there so you can bless the world. Amen. Thank you for your patience.